Greetings. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 30 of the Legacy Drawing Board, the podcast quest and experience that wants you to build a stronger, more meaningful legacy by embracing good design principles. I'm your host, Ron Fong. This podcast is based on three pillars. The first, the purpose. To meet the perpetual need for leadership calls us to edify each other by building enduring relationships. The second, the mission. To introduce you into a world of design and have you see yourself as an artist. And finally, the vision, to increase the number of storytellers in the world and to increase the resonance of each story. For those of you who have been kind enough to give me your time as a listener, I thank you. And I hope these episodes have been of value. I hope that they have inspired and encouraged you to discover your purpose, to make a stronger commitment to your mission, and to help you clarify your vision. For today's episode, I have another installment of the Entrepreneur Profile Series. Here's my interview with Dr. Julie Allen. My guest today is Dr. Julie Allen. She is a family physician, an entrepreneur, a wife, a mother, and a singer and an actress. So Julie, welcome to the Legacy Drawing Board.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Fong. It feels full circle because I vividly remember the days at UC Davis sitting next to you when you would precept my patients and I was just learning family medicine. So this is really neat.
That's right. Julie and I met during her residency at UC Davis. Julie, upon graduation, you had a career in terms of urgent care. Is that correct?
Correct. I knew going into family medicine training that I loved the acute issues that patients can come in with, the unpredictable and procedures and trying to fix things. And I just had a strong passion. So I knew that actually starting my training. And I do really miss my early career was all in urgent care. And one thing I missed most was having those continuity patients and really getting to know people. And it was just one of the things that I had to give up in choosing my first job out of residency. And now I get to have my own patients again. So
how long did you do that before you pivoted? And we'll get in terms of that you transitioned from being an employee to being an entrepreneur.
I think it was probably in my subconscious all along. And the last thing I wanted to ever think about was business. So I pushed it aside. But if I were to choose a couple moments where the light bulb may have gone off, let's look at the pandemic. We all have our stories from the pandemic. But I had several times where a neighbor, a family member across the country would call in crisis, something was going on, and I had this skill. I was an urgent care physician, and I was able to truly help. I mean, two stories come to mind. A friend, neighbor down the street called in panic that her 7-year-old jumping off the side of the pool split his scalp open. So I go right over there. And this is the days, you know, I'm masked up in the backyard at the poolside. I'm irrigating the wound. And then I do a fun modified hair apposition technique, glue him up. He didn't have stitches, good to go. And I said, how neat is that to be like that old-fashioned doctor and just go over and take care of something. Another story was at the height of the pandemic. My dear, dear great aunt in Ohio called and, oh, you know, I think I had a heart attack, but they just sent me home from the ER. And I'm going, what? Send me the EKG, send me anything you have. And they were more scared of keeping her in there as a almost 90-year-old of getting COVID than treating her end STEMI. So in any case, I've put all the pieces together and sent her medication from California to Ohio. So that kind of immediacy and being able to help people like that really told me that, hey, I need to listen to this nudge.
Well, that nudge, oh, Julie, and she talked about your voice. And now you said you originally thought you would be working for someone and this undertaking, as you call it, about business. But does it align with your previous and your current experiences as an artist? Because you were a musician and you're currently doing community theater. Is there that voice? Is it the same voice that tells you express yourself?
Oh, I love that. I was born a creative. So, I mean, I came out making up songs and recording on a little microphone in the 80s, you know. And, oh, I wanted to be heard as a little kid. And then I got into theater and singing as a child. And then my dream quickly became, I'm going to play in an orchestra. Like, I wanted to be a professional flutist. And I got my flute performance degree. And I took music so seriously because I absolutely love to express. And something through the music training that was always present is, how can I help people with this? And music is so healing. So that was the common thread. But a little bit about my music career, I kind of got a wake-up call because as a freshman, mind you, I'm a very serious flute player, and I was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor. The doctors on here will know it's an acoustic neuroma or a vestibular schwannoma. And long story short, I had to have surgery that summer, and I lost complete hearing in my left side, so that the surgeon, who is to this day such an influence in my life, and he is just one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing. But he said, Julie, to save your facial nerve so that you can play the flute, you can smile, you can, you know, drink out of a straw without dribbling, we have to do a procedure that I feel is in your best interest and completely destroy your hearing on the left side. So I said, well, gosh, I won't be able to hear the bassoons anymore. This is going to be a pretty hard career. But that tumor, it was hard. I mean, I was a patient. I was in the ICU. I remember it was not fun. It was even more scary for my parents. I was 19 at the time. But I learned what it is to go through something scary. But now that whole experience is such a gift. And we often have to find these diamonds in, you know, what really can be a scary experience or awful. There's got to be something. And for me, it was that I get to practice medicine. And it quickly, I was inspired. And I said, you know what, my family roots, I've had Allen surgeons since the Civil War in every generation. Okay, it's my turn. So I kind of knew then that I would go into medicine. And going back to being an artist, I carried through. I sang in the a cappella group in my med school, and a lot of this was volunteer work and outreach where it was just the highlight group of us would go and sing, or sometimes I would play flute in a nursing home. And I get to do both now, and I feel so lucky.
What's been your biggest challenge in terms of running your own business, Julie?
Fun fact, most doctors are not business people. So I would say it's literally everything except the medicine, which in the beginning, you know, we graduate and it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to take care of this patient or that patient? Well, now it's, oh my goodness, I have to change, even today, make a change on my website. Okay, that's a new skill. And how do I divide and prioritize my time? Because up until now, I was working in a clinic and there's a list of patients and you go and you triage, and that to me is straightforward at this point, but creating my own practice and my own dream come to life, it takes a lot of new skills and ways of thinking that are completely new.
What advice would you have for the graduating or any graduating medical school class of 2024 in terms of their future and how to plan for it or how to design for it?
So tap in very closely to what brings you joy. And for me, always medicine. It went the toughest times in residency where I was nearly in tears, I would always just go into a patient's room, sit down, listen to the patient, and connect. At this point, part of the reason I left kind of a big structured medical system is that our system has so many challenges, right? And the time for me with a patient, sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 55 minutes. And being able to completely focus in on the patient as the top priority, that brings me joy. So keep a mind open, you know, look for a job, look for a career where you're going to be able to highlight that joy.
A refrain that I remember hearing from your colleagues was when talking about entrepreneurship, private practice, a common refrain was, well, I didn't go into medicine for business. I went into medicine because I wanted to help people. I wanted medicine because of X, Y, and Z. And from your narrative, your arc, Julie, was that you had to get away from being an employee to the business side of medicine so that you can do what you wanted to do.
Correct.
Okay.
That was really a big decision, obviously. And although I don't say I enjoy the business side much as much as the medicine side at all, it's a necessary skill that I've learned, and it's been fun in many ways, but it's back to the patient. And so I've done that so that I am able to literally be, you know, that kind of in this crazy, chaotic, multitasking society we live in. It's for people that don't have a doctor in the family or a friend that's a doctor, it's like a dream probably to say, oh my gosh, I am sick. My kid is sick. The last thing I want to do is go spend 4 hours in urgent care. Can a doctor just arrive at my doorstep? And there I am. And so that's a lot of the vision that I have is to be that for patients.
Your practice, one of the distinguishing aspects of it is that you make house calls. How did you decide on that model?
There was never a question in my mind. I actually, in medical school, was given by my grandfather his original doctor bag. And that bag is featured on my website and many of its contents, the very old otoscope. I mean, there were even some, you know, plastic gloves that were completely disintegrated. He practiced in the 50s and 60s and 70s and that era where he was almost as if he was arriving on horse and buggy. And so it's been in my DNA, and to afford a patient that level of ease, I can go out of my way in a second because the house calls, we got to make house calls in residency. And I did that. Actually, I met my husband in a volunteer program in college, in nursing homes and hospitals visiting patients, and to literally go to a patient, there is nothing like it.
Can you you talk about your practice and why it was important to you? What was the design process of that? I'm sorry, being a little redundant here, but the joy that you get, so you could not see yourself not bringing the practice to the patient. And what's their response to that?
The patient's response?
Yes.
It's almost shock. It's like, wait, hold on. You can call me at 9 o'clock at night and tell me if I actually need to go to the ER. Just, you'll pick up the phone. It's like, you're my doctor in my pocket, really? And if it's a situation, well, I can't listen to lungs over the phone. You know, I can be there in 10 minutes. It is so fun. And I really want to be a trailblazer here because our system has things that can be improved. I want to forge the way, and this is bringing it back to the patient. What is easiest for the patient? Getting them the best care in with the most peace and comfort. I want to be that. And I'm sure every doctor feels the same. We just want our patients to feel the ultimate form of care.
You mentioned you want to be a trailblazer. Was that something you had envisioned when you began medical school?
Not at all. In fact, I wanted to be an obstetrician gynecologist. And just like I was going to be a professional flutist in an orchestra, life is not a straight and even path. And I learned so much in that, in my OB-GYN training. I'm so grateful for the many lessons from there. It just absolutely has taken one turn after the next. And if I don't listen to kind of my intuition and what's the next best thing for my career, but patients on a whole, then I'm not serving anyone.
I've talked about legacy, where legacy is sending a message, making an impact on people's lives. Obviously, with your practice, with your patients, you're making an impact on them because you're able to provide care in a setting, an environment that's home to them. They don't have to go anywhere. They're in a comfort zone. But your impact in terms of being a trailblazer and from a professional standpoint, how do you see your impact going forward? How do you see yourself interacting with younger colleagues, younger professionals?
I'm discovering on a daily basis, and I love teaching. I love mentoring. So I will figure out kind of how this works best, but I know that customization and really listening to the needs of a particular patient, I mean, that has to be the new standard. It's the new era of medicine. Logistically, I'm in a solo practice, but I envision hiring colleagues and partnering and growing a bigger team so that this type of truly personalized care becomes the standard. And there are so many smart doctors out there, and we can pool together and brainstorm in how we can make things come back to the patient. And I don't know how yet, but the first step is literally one step at a time. Right now I talk a lot about filling the gaps. And another thing that brings me so much passion is holding someone's hand that has a tricky diagnosis, being there with them and going to their doctor's appointments with them and helping them navigate. And I know this can't be provided kind of on a mass level, but there are messages in there, and it's gonna take a community to really navigate and forge a better way.
Is there an affinity for you to mentor female physicians?
Always. I have been doing that, I think, ever since I worked in my urgent care clinic. My younger female colleagues, we both, I'm thinking of one in particular, and we both had infants during our clinic, you know, pumping in the break room. And there's a lot to being a mom or a dad and having a career in medicine. And so I absolutely am there for it. I want to mentor, pass on all of my wisdom and my mistakes.
We hear often about people looking for work-life balance, especially in medicine. Do you find you're achieving more or less or the same work-life balance when you transition from being an employee to being an entrepreneur?
I would definitely say this is more flexible, but it's harder for my kids to understand that I'm at work when I close the door. They're getting old enough where they are seeing that they both have some interest in medicine. And I would say there's more of a harmony instead of trying to balance. I get to perform and do a couple of these creative outlets on the side, just a couple hours a week, and not having to worry about letting a colleague down because I can't work on Sunday evenings for 2 hours. So, yeah.
How have your children responded to this transition? You went from, well, mom has this shift, so we'll see her, you know, 8-10 hours later. And when she's home, she's home. And now, as you said, you have to close the door or you're hopping into your car for the house visits, or mom is working on the spreadsheet again because she has to go over the budget, you know, everything. Mom's HR, mom is advertising, mom is everything. How have they responded to that transition?
They're a little bit confused by it because they really, I mean, the younger one is like, mommy, you're not at work. Like, oh boy, here we go again. But they're, especially the older one, they get that I'm doing something bigger. Mm. They really do. And when I was off, I was off at my last jobs for the most part. But you know, that didn't always mean I wasn't tired and didn't have energy because I had been in clinic for 12 hours. So this is, they're coming to realize that it's a new mom.
Julie, you talk about the future, making an impact, growing this, and I know you will because it's a great motto and I know how enthusiastic you are about this. Now that you are HR and Dr. Allen is now hiring manager Allen, and you're going to hire someone, what qualities are you going to look for in your employees?
Always heart-centered and good team players and fun. I mean, if we can't have fun at the end of the day and make a job truly joyful, even when it's not, if it's a heavy topic, support, just mutual support and respect. I don't care if someone is a college graduate, a high school graduate that's doing bookkeeping. Mutual respect, and we can all learn from each other. Especially, you know, the younger generation with technology. I just have so much to learn and hopefully teach as well.
Julie, your business is in the Sacramento area. Can you tell us what your website is?
So the name of my full name of my business is On Call Personalized Urgent Care, even though I can do much more than that. And the website is just www.personalizedurgentcare.com.
Is there another way that people who are interested in your services can contact you?
Email is great. It's just md@personalizedurgentcare.com.
So it's Julie.
Call me. They can. It's all on my website, and I love even sign up for a 15-minute conversation, and I just love to hear what people need because I am creative and I will make it work.
Your legacy is not done yet, Julie. You're still writing it, but up to this point, if someone asks Dr. Allen, "What's your legacy?" What's your response?
I am the bridge between the spirit of that old-fashioned doctor, my grandpa, and the new era we're living in, and bringing the best of both worlds to the bedside.
You mentioned that your children may be interested in medicine. Do you see them as being that next generation and building a bridge to your children?
I've definitely thought about that, but the current, the way our current system is, I have hesitation with all of the new thought in direct primary care and all of these new ways of thinking about medicine. I am so much more optimistic, and it's like if they're drawn to it, they'll be drawn to it. And I am there to bring them on if they want to join me or not. They've shown very fun signs from young ages of, putting Band-Aids on and holding a flashlight while I'm doing my own toenail removal in my kitchen floor so I didn't have to miss a day of residency. So they might just have it in their blood.
You have a wealth of experience, Julie, and it's varied. As you talked about your musical and your artistic background, but also you mentioned early on, you were a patient for a very serious condition. And I don't know what percentage of physicians have gone through something of that magnitude. So you definitely can appreciate what it is to, as you said, to be scared, what it is to lose something. It's not just a diagnosis. It's a loss of self, a big part of myself. Given all that, you get invited to deliver the commencement speech at, let's say, UC Davis for the School of Medicine class of 2024. So Dr. Allen, the stage is yours, and what's your parting comments to them?
Every step of the way, you don't know what's happening. You don't know what life will bring at you, but it's for your highest good. It might not seem like that at the time, and there might be some really crummy stuff you have to deal with along the way, but in some way, shape, or form, there is a higher purpose in some aspect of everything. And looking for that, like I did in some respects with my journey. And it's the challenge and the gift of life.
Well, Julie, I know you're extremely busy running your own practice, the learning curve at where you are right now, being a wife, being a mom to two children. So I do want to thank you for your time and love to see your growth in terms of this as you expand. So Julie, thanks you for your time and being on the Legacy Drawing Board.
Thank you so much. Such an honor.
Dr. Allen's legacy ties in with my previous episode when I commented on the Wall Street Journal article about the benefits of being a midlife founder. Dr. Allen has established her career as a successful family physician doing urgent care. But somehow, there was still that inner voice in her, the voice that was shaped by her experience as a musician and as an actress. She had a desire to still create, and she couldn't quite find that with her prior work. And she took the risk, and she had that entrepreneurial spirit that she heeded and decided to branch out her own and to start her own business in terms of direct primary care, specializing in house calls. For Dr. Allen, it's been, as she talked about, it's been a journey of ups and downs, but it's been something that she thinks is really worthwhile, and it's helped her grow. And she's also talked about its impact in terms of his family, that as she's going through these changes, her sons can see her, see the fact that she is willing to take risk, not willing to be satisfied, and willing to pursue the need to create. So Dr. Allen is leaving behind and still building and executing a wonderful legacy. So I thank her for being my guest. If you're interested in exploring how to build your legacy through design, I invite you to visit my website and sign up for a complimentary session on how we can work together. And for my next episode, I'll talk about courage. Until then, I hope that you are giving your legacy the time and attention it deserves, because when you do, we all benefit.